Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go. It is hour number two. Just a few sprinkles out here at the State Fair. We got to have a little rain once or twice. Chad Hartman with you. Hope you had a chance to listen to the first hour. Don Shelby joined us for the entire hour, and Don was just fantastic. Bottom of the hour, our friend and former producer of the show, Lindsey Gensler, is going to stop by. Lindsey's always great. Lindsey's had a health battle the last year plus, which has been an extraordinary challenge for Lindsey. So we're going to talk to our friend Lindsey, 135. Then Dara. It wouldn't be fair if we didn't start the festivities on day one with Dara, checking out all the new food. And a bonus this year, the great Louie Nanny is going to join us. So we're going to talk food with Dara and Lou Nanny. But the man to my left is here. He is the 3rd District Congressman for the state of Minnesota. How about a round of applause for Dean Phillips, who is here?
Thanks, everybody.
He's taking pictures over there. He's getting it all done.
I think most are my friends and family that just clapped,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, there was one bill collector, which I thought was
I'll get right back to you.
That was a bit problematic. Okay, Tim Walz is the story. Tim Walz gives the speech of his lifetime last night. Let me start with this. Just how fast this has happened. Just how fast, and we'll get to Joe Biden, and again, you had it. You were right. I applaud you. I give you great respect. You know that. You told the truth when so many other people were telling the truth behind the scenes but wouldn't do it. But this happened at an extraordinary rate. And if you would have said to me, well, Joe Biden's going to step down from the race, I would have said, good, he needs to. You can applaud him for his service. But then if you had told me the vice presidential nominee is Tim Walz, I would have said, get out of here. Get out of here. It's not going to happen. Just with the alacrity of this, and how he has morphed into this role. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it's just historically almost bizarre. But I don't know if I should say thank you or what did you get me into. But as I hope listeners know, that this whole journey for me started in July of 22. Chad had me on his show and asked me a question for which I was totally ill-prepared because it was so early, and just said, do you think the president should run again? And I said, no. And immediately my phone lit up with staff members saying, oh, my gosh, what did you just do? You're out of your minds. Oh, my goodness, you are done. And they were right.
You're welcome.
And they were right. But I got to tell you, so first of all, thank you. Yeah. If you told me on that day that this journey would go the way it did, but most of all, that it would end with the very success to which I aspired that day, which is energy and excitement and a handing of the torch to the new generation, I would have said you're out of your mind. And to your point about Governor Walz, my friend and our governor, if you told me a month ago, that he'd even be in the running, I would have said you're out of your mind. And having been in Chicago, Chad, the last 3 days, to kind of feel that energy, it's really cool, no matter your politics. And I know there's differing opinions on the governor, but to have a Minnesotan on that stage, to see that speech last night, to see his son, Gus.
Yes.
You know, that moment that America needs so much, where politics maybe melt aside and people see humanity, and a young boy celebrating his father so emotionally. You know, those of us who are fathers can certainly relate to it, parents, everybody. And I just hope that moment says something about him and his family and our state and our country. And it was beautiful. And I'm just thrilled that the change was made. And, you know, now we will see what happens in November. But that was my mission. It cost me my job. But you know what? So be it.
All right, there's a lot to react to. Can I just stay with Gus for a second? Because this rises above politics. When you see the sweetness and the love of a wife, a son, and a daughter, and I don't care in this case if it would have been Barron Trump or it would have been Chelsea Clinton or Sasha Malia, to see that love that we see hopefully in our own lives or friends' lives, and for Gus to react that way, to stand up, that's my dad, it was such a heartwarming moment where the overwhelming majority of America has rallied behind it. I don't want to overemphasize this, but I want to say it. If you're out there somehow criticizing Gus Walls and going after a young man like that who has – the Walls have been honest about some of the challenges, some of the nonverbal learning issues that Gus faces, some anxiety issues. And if this is your way to make a mark in the social media world by criticizing Gus Walls, I can't help you. You need to look in your soul and look in the mirror and just take a step back and say, I'm allowed to disagree vehemently with Tim Walls politically if you want, but to go after his son or anybody else's child is callous, cruel, and unbecoming of just decency.
And pathetic.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
I love my Democratic colleagues. I love Democrats. I love my Republican colleagues, one of whom I'm going to be taking around the fair this afternoon from Congress. And I love Minnesotans who are Republican and Americans who are. But politics don't matter. Your principles do. And if we can't share that principle of decency, you know, attack us all you want. That's, we know what we're getting into. But our kids off limits. But particularly last night was such a moment for Americans to actually celebrate, you know, a moment. And I think most are. And I got to tell you, on Twitter at least, to see the number of some arch conservatives who are punishing Ann Coulter for that despicable tweet of hers. You know what? That actually gives me hope. And I know right next door to us, there are Republicans who want to see a return to the conservative principles that created the party of Lincoln and Roosevelt and the like. But my goodness, let's stop rewarding these people who are just bomb throwers on the far right, the far left. I mean, if we, our state of Minnesota, can't get people back on the right page of decency and respect and common sense, nobody can. And that's why I just love this place, because it is where Democrats and Republicans and libertarians and independents, you know, we come and we're all here together, no matter how you pray or you think or you eat or you live or what you think. My goodness, we got to get back to it. And we need political rewards to encourage that kind of behavior. We're incentivizing cowardice and disrespect. And that is on us. We got to vote, got to get in primaries, and got to recruit good candidates on both sides.
100%. That is on both sides of the aisle. That's beautifully stated. So let's talk about it. And you're right. Some of it did start when I asked you the question. But then 99.999% is what you did. And you jumped in. And as you've said many times, you reached out to a number of prominent Democrats who had greater recognition than you, had financial access to donors more than you. And they all turned you down. They turned you down when there were legitimate questions about the president and the American public's ability to rally behind him and believe he could do the job for the next 4 years. You then step in, and to be honest, I thought there were a lot of cheap shots at you. There was a lot of belittling. There was a lot of mocking, as opposed to saying, this is what democracy is all about. Even against, let's be honest, Donald Trump is running as an incumbent. So in some ways, it was incumbent versus incumbent. But you're allowed to challenge. Nikki Haley and others challenged Donald Trump. And you did that and raised awareness. And a lot of them stuck their head in the sand and acted like everything was okay with the president. And now that he stepped aside, it's freshness, it's energy, when they all should have been saying that before. So when you were in Chicago, and I don't think you're going to name names, but how many people came up to you and said, Dean, you were right the whole damn time?
Chad, well, you know, my mission in Chicago wasn't to derive that satisfaction, but I have to tell you, it came at me in spades. And from some of my most virulent opponents, kind of part of the DNC machine, would come up to me with regularity and just say, you know what, we were wrong and thank you. And it was across the board. It was heartwarming, and it was high fives and hugs and handshakes, and a nice reminder that despite some of the arrows that were fired at me, that there was still some place for dissent. And at the end of the day, my aspiration was fulfilled, which is just to turn the page and create energy. And it happened. And I think people sensed it. I'm sure there are some that are still disappointed. So be it. I'd do it 1,000 times again. But I'm thrilled that so many who were somewhat unkind have offered me a rapprochement, if you will, and recognized that the mission was not about me. I was trying to be Paul Revere, not George Washington.
Let's pause right here. Dean Phillips is with us. We know we got a little bit of rain, so I really appreciate the crowd sticking on. We're going to keep Dean for another segment. I don't know if Dean has air conditioning for us. Just a hunch. I think he does. Just a guess. I'm guessing most people out here have air conditioning furnace. You can always reach out to K&S Heating and Air. They're the fine company I talk about. K&S Heating com on the what I like to call the internet. I know our friend Ettinger. I don't even know if he's heard of the internet yet. You know, he's kind of a Luddite.
Yeah, Eddie, you know, Jay here, he uses a fan with a wet towel.
Yeah.
So you should use. Should go to KNL. Oh, I don't know. I'm still a member of Congress. I can't promote.
No, hold on, hold on.
Sorry. We're I did not say that.
We're about to get him kicked out of Congress here. K&S Heating and Air Plumbing and Electric. They have such a great deal right now for $7,795. You get a high efficient Lennox furnace and air conditioner, and also certain qualified buyers, 0% interest for 12 months. They've been in business for 36 years. I've been a customer 10 years. Track them down today. KSHeating.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, we're back here with Dean Phillips. He's 22 past one. He's talking to a lot of people, and I keep saying, he's a lame duck. Just, you know, just leave him alone. Okay, I got a lot for you. Okay. Have you thought about 1 year from today, you're going to be still out here. I'm bringing you out here.
Okay.
What do you think you're going to be doing? Have you thought about?
I know.
What?
I'm going to.
What am I going to do?
I'm going to be handing out cookies at Sweet Martha's, I think, in my next career because I got to tell you,
you could be Jay's assistant.
I could be Jay's assistant. I could be your. Be your assistant. I could fix your air conditioner with K&S. You know, Chad, I'm going to take a little time. You know, what I realized is, despite how hard I tried in Congress to expose some of the corruption and the money in politics and the perverse incentives, that it's really hard to do so inside. And I'm inspired to try to do some of that work now outside. Encourage people to vote. 1 in 10 Americans in primaries is not enough. To expose how money in politics works, to explain why Trumpism took such root in so much of America because people are so angry, to start listening to people, to start rewarding and encouraging young people who want to pursue careers in teaching and law enforcement and public service, these kinds of things. So I think I'm going to do something in that area and try to improve the system. I'm disappointed in this duopoly. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
It's two of us. I think it's kind of suppressing the very essence of democracy that our founders had intended. And competition makes everything better.
Exactly.
In politics, in our personal lives, in our professional lives. And that's what I'm going to be doing. I don't know what the plan is, but I'll look into it.
Is there any scenario where you would go back to politics? I know during the heart of it you said no, but sometimes all of us, in retrospect, we get a little bit of time. You know, how old are you now?
I'm 55.
55.
Yeah. Wait, which in politics is like a spring chicken.
I was just saying, you're a child.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Could you see yourself maybe in a couple of years potentially?
Absolutely. You know, I don't see much opportunity unless the parties start migrating more back to where the exhausted majority is, center right and center left, which is my heart. But I never say never. I have loved. This has been the most extraordinary, gratifying, joyful part of my career, despite how difficult it was. And gosh knows, there was a lot of pain. So, yes, the answer is I'd love to. I really derive great joy in helping people, listening to people, trying to do better. And even inside of Congress, Chad, just building bridges with my colleagues. I mentioned moments ago that one of my Republican buddies is coming here this afternoon. We're going to be walking the fair. I don't want to. I feel bad. I don't want
Donald Trump is going to be at the fair.
No, that I can't.
Wow.
I just don't want to. Yeah, I don't think it would be cool to out him just because, sadly.
Yeah.
Not
he could take heat because
he could,
of it.
He could. Yeah. Last time I was here with Dusty Johnson.
Yeah, you had Dusty on the show.
We had ABC follow us. They did a great story. What happens in his Republican primary in South Dakota? They show pictures of Dusty Johnson and me walking the Minnesota State Fair saying, see, he's not a real Republican because he's walking the fair with a Democrat. That kind of stuff makes me sick. and we have to change it.
I was talking yesterday, and I was giving great respect to Mitt Romney. And I received four or five texts. He's not a real Republican. And I'm like, and again, my guy Carter probably said it first, Donald Trump's really a rhino. Donald Trump saw a great opportunity. To his credit, he morphed into this individual where a lot of people who are frustrated in life saw him as a vehicle and rallied around him. To his credit. But in the purest form of the Republican principles, Donald Trump is really not that type of person.
No.
So, okay, he still might win this election.
Sure.
It's very, very possible. We know he won't accept the election results. That's a given. He could lose every single state. Mm-hmm. He could lose 100% to zero. He will not accept the results.
True.
Does Trumpism end when Donald Trump leaves politics, or does it continue?
Well, that's a question on a lot of our minds, and I think I've told you this before. I'll use this as a just anecdotal story, but when I was in New Hampshire campaigning for the presidency in the primary, I had a rally, and then, I probably had a couple hundred people, which for me was a big one.
Yeah.
And I look across the street, and there are probably thousands of people in line in the cold waiting to get into an arena up in Rochester, New Hampshire, and it turns out it's a Donald Trump rally. So the media was with me and my staff. I said, I want to walk over and just visit with people. And I got to tell you, Chad, it was really an epiphany. Kindness and handshakes and friendly interactions. Many people said that they had been Democrats. Many people came from around the country going to their first Trump rally. And it was really important for me to experience that because I realized most of these people just want to be heard. They want to know that someone seems to understand why they're frustrated. You know, whether it's corruption, whether it's, a lack of attention to rural America, whether it's the microeconomy when 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So the point that you ask if it's going to continue, if we don't have leaders like Vice President Harris and maybe future Vice President Walz and others in the Republican Party that are willing to really listen to people, I don't think that will last. My hope, and to your point, is Donald Trump is not a traditional conservative. This is not about conservatism. This is a movement, in my estimation, made up of people who really were frustrated, and for good reason. And that's why I've encouraged my party also to start opening their hearts and minds to people who have something to say, who deserve to be heard, who may not live in New York City or Los Angeles or San Francisco. So there you have it. I hope that the future of the Republican Party is led by some of my dear friends on the Republican side of the aisle in Congress who are principled conservatives, believe in fiscal responsibility, personal responsibility, strong national defense, and also compassionate conservatism. I'm optimistic because I know some of these people are there, and I just hope they have the chance before it's too late.
Congressman Dean Phillips is here. Chad Hartman here with you at CCO at the fair. It's 28 past 1. Okay. If I look, for me, I'm a center-left social person. I'm a center-right fiscal person. I'm probably with about 45% of the population in that area. Okay. So I look at Kamala Harris when she ran in 2019 and 2020, and she ran as a very progressive individual. I look at Tim Walz from the second term on, and he has been a very progressive governor. I'm not going to spend 1 second considering voting for Donald Trump. Those two right now are politically well left to me. So why should I consider Harris and Walz if they are that far to the left of me?
So, well, first is what you just referred to, which is, as Joe Biden used to say, don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. That's one. But I also have to say that while Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are clearly more left than many would perhaps like, the fact is that their heads and hearts are actually much more pragmatic. The sad truth in politics is you have to adopt where the party is moving if you want to continue to serve in the public sphere. This is where I had to make a decision. I could have stayed in line and been quiet.
Well, for sure.
And I was a member of House leadership. I could have climbed that ladder.
You could have stayed
for
20 more years.
And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
So with all that said, here's the reality. In the last election, Kamala Harris had to pivot left, because she was a prosecutor after George Floyd was murdered and the riots and the national sentiment. She recognized that she had to move away from her record, which was actually a prosecutorial record.
As an attorney general, there were many liberals who were very mad at her. That's what drew me to her then.
Exactly. So I make that case. Tim Walz, you know, when he was a member of Congress representing a red district in Minnesota, a champion of Veterans Affairs and, you know, National Guardsman, a teacher, you know, pretty pragmatic and pretty centrist.
Right.
Minnesota and the DFL party has moved left. So my belief is this. These are pragmatic representatives, both Vice President Harris and Tim Walz. And I think now that they're on the national stage trying to win battleground states, I hope that they issue a platform that is socially progressive and reasonable, but also fiscally responsible. And if they do so, I think it's going to be outstanding. But to anybody listening right now, you know, we've got two pretty distinct choices, and we know what they are. And the sad truth is the Republican Party that I remember that really practiced fiscal conservatism and fiscal responsibility. You know, Donald Trump added more to the federal debt than Joe Biden has.
It's a lot of truth. A lot of it COVID related.
A lot of it COVID related, but didn't matter. And by the way, that has been over. If you look at Republican and Democratic administrations, they are equally adding to the federal debt and not prioritizing fiscal responsibility, which then moves us to social conservatism, which, you know, the truth is most of Americans want freedoms, reproductive freedoms, freedom to live the way you want without the government coming in your bedroom or your home or your bathroom. So I think there's an opportunity here if this ticket expresses themselves in the way that I know they have in their hearts. I just hope that that occurs.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Round of applause for Congressman Dean Phillips. Our friend Lindsey Gentzel is here. We'll chat with Lindsey next here on WCCO. This day is a lot different for Lindsey Gentzel than it was when she was producer of this show and she'd be in the back coordinating with Dara over 5, 10, 15 new food items coming. Now it's raining, which is going to make it even more challenging, even more difficult. I'm glad you're here, but you're also glad you're here not as the producer on this day.
Today was a good day to produce because there was built-in stuff. I actually really feel for the producers right now, considering how many politicians we don't have in town.
Yeah,
and
that's
how many of those politicians you would be booking for these days at the fair.
That's
and you're going, when are they coming home from Chicago? How many are down there? Man, what a strange time to be a producer. Dave, where are you, sir?
Yeah, he's hiding back there. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
We've kind of kept him in the back so far.
It's a good spot for me.
It is. Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to go in the back and take care of some business. I'll be back.
Yes. There's a little bit of hiding. Okay. So let's remind folks about this overwhelming challenge you have faced. You look great, by the way. You look healthy.
Thank you.
You look really good. When were we on together? How many months ago was it?
We were on together February 29th because it was Rare Disease Day.
Yep, exactly. From that point, February 29th, to now, what has happened? And then also summarize for the folks who missed your appearance about what this has been like.
Yeah, so 18 months ago, I was diagnosed with a rare incurable disease called dermatomyositis. You said this is a different fair for me. I didn't think you were going because I'm not here as your producer. I thought you were going to say because I have a mobility scooter.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
I am a 38-year-old, like you said, I look pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Woman using a mobility scooter at the state fair because I have this really rare incurable disease that makes my muscles not work, but it's much more complicated than that. It's an autoimmune disease. My body attacks my muscles break down. I lose mobility, but as you said, it's what has happened since February 29th. Things have gotten so much better.
That's awesome.
Yes. We are still a long way from where we want to be, and we're learning more and more about this every day. I say we talking about John, my amazing partner, talking about my medical team. It's been frustrating, but I truly think, and I know it's so cliche, I'm a happier person today than I was 3 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Even with all this happening?
Yeah.
How come?
You get a really healthy dose of the cliche, so much doesn't matter when you are given, like, horrible news.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
You deal with it with Q.
Absolutely.
The things that don't matter anymore, the things that I don't carry around anymore, the things that I leave behind that I used to get so stressed out about, none of it matters anymore. And I'm sure a lot of that is because my capacity is taking care of doctor's appointments. So I had Hennepin Healthcare send me all of the medical forms from when I got sick in January of 2023 to mid-July.
Mm.
Guess how many appointments?
I can't even quantify. Right?
I had over 290 doctor's appointments, which does not count 24 days in the hospital. So 290 plus another 24 nights,
right?
1,200 pages of documentation that I have been going through. That's where my capacity is.
Yeah, right.
I have a full-time job.
You don't
job.
Have time
don't
for this other
time.
Stuff that could wear you down.
Yeah.
And sometimes could bring you joy,
yes.
too, because this is not a full-time job. This is your full-time life.
Yes. Yeah, and it's, you know, when you hear incurable and you start to go, oh, my goodness, is it always going to be my worst day? And I'm so lucky. It was during my second hospitalization. Dr. Wright, shout out to you. He had a very frank conversation with me because I was hesitant to ask to get an accessible parking pass. I was like, oh, I don't know if I qualify. And he looked at me and he said, you need to prepare that every day is going to be your worst day and you need to hope that it's not. And that's really what you do when you have a chronic illness, and you get it with Q. Like you
Absolutely.
Are always trying to make sure that everything is lined up, that you can take care of yourself, and that everything will work itself out, because when you don't is when everything just hits the fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say just a little bit, because I want to talk more about you than Q, but we're in a crazy good stretch for Quentin, and I'm knocking
Which
on
I love
this,
that.
This table, you know, and there's nothing in my life that brings me greater relief and joy and happiness and everything. And Kathleen and I were talking recently, well, do we have to modify anything because things are going well? And I'm like, no, let's enjoy this. Let's keep doing the right things, because we don't know when, boom, that snap finger, it all changes. And I know you have faced this. So do you get anything, any warning, any tip off at all if a more challenging day, hour, a couple days is about to happen?
So not yet. And the reason for that, and we haven't touched on this. So when I saw you at the end of February, I was doing better. But they put me back on this medication called Celsep. Now, here's the part that is so wild is like you start to read up on these medications. Now, there is not a medication that is made for my disease. And there are medical companies working on that, which is great news. I was actually just out in Philadelphia in June, and I donated plasma that they're going to use to hopefully find a drug that will help us and just be for people who have dermatomyositis.
Yeah, right.
But that being said, like some of the medications, like I've done chemo more times than I can count. The drug that actually I had a rare reaction to is called Celsep. And Celsep is a medication that people take when they've had an organ transplant. And all of a sudden you're looking at these. Rituxan was a medication developed by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society for certain blood cancers. And you're going, what is happening?
Yeah.
What is flowing through my body? So we found out that what caused my body to flare up this last time was what's called acute paradoxical inflammatory syndrome. And we found that out in March when I went on Celsep for the second time and immediately felt terrible. And then I had started Googling, and luckily I had a doctor who did not.
Google can sometimes be evil. During these
it
battles,
can.
Too.
It can, but it found an article from the government of New Zealand, a black box label, and I was able to match my symptoms and then send a note to my doctor. Anyway, long story short, I can no longer take that medication. And it's one of the six medications that people who have my disease take, but I'm essentially allergic to it. And it did the opposite.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only do we took it in August of last year. In fact, my friend Annie here,
of your 17 best friends.
Yes. We went down to Chicago right before I started Celsep last August and went to a Cubs game,
yep.
saw Coom,
yep.
did the whole thing because I had been told, like, this is going to just knock you out. Well, yeah, it knocked me out. It knocked me into the hospital for 24 days.
Yeah.
But that was not the goal.
No, not. Okay. We're going to pause here because I want to have plenty of time to come back. We're going to talk about the GoFundMe page, too. And I know that's not easy for you to talk about it. But we should, because you've reached a point where if people have it in their heart and their kindness and they have an affinity in some way, they heard you for years on this show, they followed you on social media, they want to help out, they know what a good person you are. If they wanted to find your GoFundMe page, where would they track it down?
You can find it on any of my socials right now.
Okay.
I'll repost it, yes. You started a GoFundMe, but yes, it's on all of my socials, whichever one you're on, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram.
Our friend Lindsey Gensel is here. It's 46 past one. Yeah, it's raining. It's raining pretty good out here. It has definitely changed the dynamic. It's probably going to be out here and around the metro area for the next couple hours or so. When we get to 205, we're going to have a great run of great food. Dara's here, and so will Lou Nanny be here. Louie's going to sample some of the new food, too. Back with Lindsey in minutes on Newstalk 830 WCCO. There's my guy, Charlie Torgerson. Great, great ribs out here and a great human being. I want to remind you, we'll get back to Lindsey in just seconds here. WCCO's 100th anniversary double album is now on sale. Great segments looking back at 100 years of this radio station. We have a phenomenal record for it. And old school records are popular now. But if you're not a turntable person, no problem. Each album contains a unique code to access the content online, including 8 hours and 30 minutes of bonus audio. Get it? 8 hours and 30 minutes of bonus audio. Benefits great organizations like Second Harvest Heartland, Union Gospel Mission, DAVMN, and MMDP. All of the albums are priced at $43.75. Where do you track down this great info? WCCRadio.com/100. WCCRadio.com/100. Okay, back to Lindsey here and this rare incurable disease. How many people have the disease? Look at Louis showing up right here. He's got the fantastic hat on. He's got the great umbrella. He looks like $1 million like always, never a doubt. How many people have this?
The CDC estimates in the United States 5,000.
5,000.
My hometown is 8,000. Context. Yeah. And here's the joke I make, because you get this. Like, I do love being the center of attention.
Yes, you do.
I love to
so
feel special.
So do I.
Special.
I'm a radio show host.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a little much. This pushes. It's just a little much. Like, we could back off just a little bit.
Okay. How do you stay optimistic? You know, I think we talked about some of the worst moments last time, so we're not going to do that again. But how do you stay driven, focused, and not have these things pull you down?
Yeah. Well, I have a great partner. I have a great support system from our family and our friends. And before I got sick, I honestly felt like all of my hard work, I was like at this cusp. I was like, everything's about to happen. Like, the next level is here. And then I got sick. And, like, I'll be damned if I'm letting this disease slow me down. Like,
yeah.
How many unpaid internships? Like, are you kidding me? No, absolutely not. Like, yeah. It just will not happen.
Yeah.
But it's just opened up different doors now, which is interesting, right?
Yeah. Which doors?
I'm doing a lot more with the rare disease community.
Yep.
I'm heading out to Baltimore first weekend in September for the myositis conference. And I'll be not only doing some speaking, sharing my story, but I'll be emceeing a red carpet event that for one of their galas. What else? My goodness. I'm less fearful. I put myself out there more. Like, I'm not as scared of hearing the word no. I started the GoFundMe, which was like a huge insecurity and like being vulnerable and asking for help. Like, I'm sorry, we're in Minnesota. We don't do that.
Right. What finally convinced you to do it? Because I know that's hard for you.
It is very hard. I applied for a job. It was like the last job I had applied for, and I had been putting it off. Because the background is, in October, John had to quit his job and stay home because I physically could not be left alone.
Yeah.
So John is not working, and I'm working, and I'm keeping it going.
Yeah.
And then in January, I lose my job.
Yeah.
And John then starts his own business, which is incredible, and he's incredible. But I have been struggling to find work that's flexible enough to keep up with 290 doctor's appointments in 18 months. I mean, it's literally impossible.
And to pay for this.
Yes.
Minor points.
Yeah, right, minor things. So I apply for this job. It took about a month. I didn't get it. And that night, I didn't cry. I didn't do anything. I sat down and I wrote out the GoFundMe and I hit publish. Because it was the point of, it's been 18 months. I've accepted help in so many ways. And I need help. And I will say, my dear friend Lindsey Thompson texted me after I published it and she said, "We all want to know how to help you and you just told us how to do it." And that meant, like, I could sob right now because it meant so much to me, because it is so hard asking for help. And no one likes to talk about money. It makes us all uncomfortable. And it has just been really hard. And honestly, in the week that it was up. Like the first week, I think we had raised half of the $50,000. We had raised like $25,000. And I felt so much ease and so much of like the stress was just taken off of me. And like, isn't that the whole point of like trying to get healthy?
That's it. That's it. The rare disease community is a community nobody wants to be a part of. And because of Quentin, my son, I am a full-fledged member. And you never know when you're going to join it. You never know if you're ever going to leave it. And we all find different avenues where it's a frustration, it's of hope. It's of hope that you think is there and then is ripped away from you. And knowing you as well as I do, the fact that I can see you today and you look so great and you're feeling good. But if people can help, Lindsay is everywhere on every social media platform known to mankind. If you can just take a few minutes, if it works, that would be great. If it doesn't work, I totally understand it, but it is a pleasure that you came out
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm
this
happy to see you.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have so many friends out here, too. And just run people over the scooter.
I haven't hit anyone yet. Knock
yeah,
on wood.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not hit anyone yet. So
thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you for being here.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Next hour, Dara Moskowitz Grumdahl, the queen of food at the fair and the king of the Twin Cities in the state of Minnesota. Lou Nanny, all sorts of fun food at the fair on the home of the Twins, WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.